thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wally, here with Ray and Will T. What's going on, fam?
What's up?
What's going on?
The three man weavers back, man. It's always a magical feeling we have all three of us in the building.
It is. It's great, especially after a close Redskins game.
Yeah, that's right. Close Redskins game.
Yeah, it was a close game. It was an excellent game. Big lead changes. We're going to get there, I know. But last week we asked the question, could Jay Gruden outcoach Bruce Arians? And nobody would answer. People were scared. I think we got the answer.
We got the answers. You said, I don't like the way you said that. It's like you're trying to antagonize me when you.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying we were hesitant to answer the question. And now I see why. Bruce Arians is a good coach.
Both teams play hard. That's all I'm going to say. Both teams
I play told hard. One team my recommendation was blitz. Mm-hmm. But sounds like Bruce Arians was listening. Shout him out.
I'm just happy my man Will T's here, man. We all finished 9-6 in the pick'em league in our pick'em challenge. You know, it's a tie. You know, man. I'm glad he's here.
The tactician is preparing for his favorite segment.
I know,
he's all quiet.
He's winning all the points plays right now. Will Stradamus takes it real. He takes it real serious.
My Atlanta Falcons, they got the Rams this week. I don't want to hear about how good Jeff Fish is. Eric Dickerson been going on, by the way. Anyway, it's good to be here.
It really is. Will T is kind of focused. Anyway, man, we'll discuss. I was going to say we're going to have our guest, but like he's running late anyway. We're supposed to have Anthony Raposa from On the Warpath podcast to discuss of the Washington Redskins. Wait, matter of fact, I'm all messed up. Hey, Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Okay, like I said, we're supposed to have Anthony Raposa from On the Warpath podcast to discuss the Washington Redskins 31-23 loss to the Arizona Cardinals. And we're going to preview the game against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. At 8:20, we'll debate if Redskins offensive coordinator Sean McVay is a problem for the team. We'll debate the possibility of Washington Wizards small forward Otto Porter getting a max contract at 8:35. We'll make our Week 14 NFL picks at 8:45, and at 5:52, we'll discuss the college football playoffs. But looks like our guest is late. So let's just talk about it ourselves. You caught the game against the Arizona Cardinals. What was your thoughts of the game?
Washington found a way to muck it up once again. No, I'm serious. Carson Palmer is a statue back there in the pocket. Joe Barry, when he did bring five rushers, he was able to get through and able to knock Carson Palmer off his spot. And we all know that if you make Carson Palmer uncomfortable in the pocket, he becomes antsy and he becomes inaccurate. For some reason, beyond my knowledge, Joe Barry stopped rushing five and he wanted to play man, or he wanted to drop back in zone. Another thing defensively, I know that everyone thinks or believes that Kendall Fuller is the future as the nickelback in DC, but right now he isn't it. It's just not there for him. You have a guy who's a veteran in this league and Greg Toler, who's on the bench. To me, I don't understand why he isn't playing in the slot, matching up against the slot receiver.
That makes sense. You mentioned Greg Toler, guy who hasn't played in a while. And
I don't know I don't know if he offended someone, talked about somebody's mother, aggressively pursued someone's girlfriend that's in the front office. I don't know what the problem is. I just know he's not on the field. And I think personally, as someone with an unbiased opinion of this team, I think that he could greatly help your cause and solidifying that sixth playoff spot.
My thought is, you know, I agree with you when it comes to Fuller. I've always thought that you can move Breland when they expand the sets on the wide receiver sets. They move to like four or five wide receivers. You can You can move Breland to the nickel because he's done it before. Have Dunbar and Norman play outside because Dunbar can't play the slot. He's just not good at it, supposedly. I always thought that's a better option. That's a good option. But yeah, Toler is another option too. I forgot all about Toler. A local kid too. So that's a good idea too as well.
Is it just me or did the Redskins lack a sense of urgency?
They were sloppy.
I think it's fair to say in the first half they came out very dead with that 15 play, what, 70-yard drive? Mm-hmm. So I think that's fair to say. And also, I think it's – people aren't admitting to it, but Arizona is just a better team talent-wise.
In what way? I'm not trying to necessarily disagree with you just for the sake of it.
I mean, well, defensively, I think it's not a question that they are better defensively.
Absolutely.
Running back position with David Johnson. Wide receiver position with Larry Fitzgerald.
One, but I don't think they're better than
See, that's
overall.
The problem, though.
Let's put it like this. They are better at using their strengths and their talents to exploit what Washington was weakest at.
Comes down to coaching.
Yeah, coaching. So, yeah.
Comes down to coaching. That's what we talked about last week, and this is why I alluded to that question, because I felt like Bruce Arians just is a bit more experienced than Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden specializes in one area. Managing a football team, I don't think he is at a place yet where he's becoming great at it. I think he has some developing to do as a overall, you know, head coach versus, you know, just being an offensive expert. Because when his offense is putting up numbers, a la the Green Bay game and on Thanksgiving where they move the ball at will, you give your team a chance to win. But when you're not doing that and you put that defense out there too much, you see what happens. Or the defense does not play at least decent football. If their coaching isn't where it needs to be, what Will T alluded to, which is what I said last week, they need to blitz. They don't bring enough pressure. Arizona, on the other hand, brought pressure, and I think that made the difference.
So when is enough when it comes to Joe Barry? You know, because I agree with you. Joe Barry should brought blitz. And Carson Palmer is a quarterback that we've seen in a number of occasions against multiple defenses that struggles when he sees an extra man coming at him.
Yeah. Joe Barry, for the most part, his defense is he likes to play a lot of zone. He likes to, you know, just bring three, you know, if they're three or four players to rush the quarterback. But I think every now and then you have to switch it up. You have to be able to look, the great teams in this league, they're able to play to their strength and exploit their opponent's weakness. Mm-hmm. Joe Barry I'm not going to just say Joe Barry. I think Washington in general, they didn't exploit Arizona's weaknesses. You had Robert Kelly breaking off 13, 14-yard runs, and he only touched the ball, what, 14 times?
He averaged about 4.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, so, you know, once you saw that the running game was going and you saw that Arizona was bringing heat to Kirk Cousins, I think that's when you start to readjust your game plan. You know, you don't stay set to a script. You know, you have to be very fluent. You have to be able to change as the momentum shifts and change your strategy throughout the game.
And to Will T's point, Robert Kelly had 14 carries for 63 yards. So he had an effective game. If you compare that to what, you know, David Johnson did in terms of running the football, David Johnson had 18 carries for 84 yards. So you just do the math. You give him more carries, he's probably going to have a really efficient day.
Yeah.
I don't think the Redskins need to be great to get in the postseason. A lot of, you know, people are asking, did this damage their playoff hopes? I don't think it did, but when you see a team like Tampa who continues to win and surprise people and play with urgency, you got to start thinking, do we need to rethink our strategy?
You see Tampa, you see Green Bay.
Yeah. Well, this competition comes up, who's Green Bay? Who did Green Bay be last week?
Houston.
The Texans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to speak for Tampa. Tampa, like people, I think we all picked San Diego to beat Tampa.
Yes.
And they're on the road playing against a tough team. Right? On the road playing against a tough team. And then you have Tampa, Jameis Winston and company go into San Diego and beat this team, a team that's beaten so many good teams even on the road and at home. Yeah, granted, San Diego has been a team that lost a lot of fluke games, but at the same time, they've competed. And you had a team in Tampa with pressure on them, like Ray said, playing with a sense of urgency, went to San Diego and won a big game.
Well, here's my thing. I picked San Diego because I said Tampa is, I think the bottom is about to run out on them. I felt like they had won some big games. Seattle, they beat the Chiefs the week before them. Like it's bound to happen. They're going to lose. But again, they continue to impress. They're playing with hunger. They're sticking to that game plan. Dirk Cutter surprised me. I'm not a Dirk Cutter fan based on the fact that he was once the Atlanta offensive coordinator. I didn't like his play calling. So I didn't think he would be a good head coach. I was shocked, that, you know, he was hired in the first place. And now to see him succeed is just amazing. Although I will say, to give him some credit, he's good for Jameis.
Yeah, and back to, and I agree, he is very good for Jameis, but that puts pressure on the Washington Redskins.
It does.
Like, you know what I mean? So that puts pressure on the Washington Redskins. You got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing at a high level, and we all looked at, okay, who's going to knock the Redskins out that slot in the playoff spot? Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is at this point in time that team. Kirk Cousins struggled in that game a little. Does this change your opinion of Kirk Cousins as a franchise quarterback for the Washington
Redskins? Not at all.
No, I don't think this. Well, let me first state my position on Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins is a very good quarterback, but I think the weapons around him is what helps him take his game to the next level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, no, this didn't change what I thought of him at all.
Do you think that, in this game, like, it still revolves around Kirk Cousins, not having Jordan Reed hurt him in terms of his performance?
Absolutely. For one, Jordan Reed, when he's in the game, he dictates coverage from the defense. You know, sometimes teams will bracket him with a linebacker and a safety. Sometimes the teams will try to man him up, and that often creates space for Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson to operate, and vice versa.
So, all right, so let's go to Sunday's game against the Philadelphia Eagles. What needs to change for this team to go into Philly and win?
Start out with a sense of urgency, unlike what you did last Sunday. We all see Philadelphia's lost three in a row. This team offensively lacks weapons. Mm-hmm. You know, defensively they're okay. They aren't as good as they were at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. So you have to play with a sense of urgency, and you also have to capitalize on turnover opportunities.
I would say this team needs to improve on the red zone. We're going to talk about that a little bit after the break too as well, but they need to improve in the red zone. They have to have more balance. You can't go all pass happy like they did against the Arizona Cardinals. Defensively, I'm with you, Wilty and Ray, in terms of what you talked about against the Arizona Cardinals. They're going to have to put some pressure on the young boy, Carson Wentz. They're going to have to blitz more. The front four isn't good enough to get pressure on their own. They're going to have to dial it up, dial some pressure up. Or get after Carson Wentz. Either have to play man. Be confident in your man coverage. Play straight up.
I think the pressure is on the coaching staff, bottom line, going into this week, especially the offensive line coach, because you got a banged up offensive line. You got replacements in. And
Trent Williams comes back.
He comes back, which is great. Yeah. But still, are you going to have Morgan Moses? Are you going to have Sheriff? You need to have a good week of practice in order to prepare for this game, because right now I think this is how you're game planning against the Redskins. You got to get pressure on Kirk Cousins. He gets the ball out quick. If you do that, you can be successful against that offense. And again, that falls on the coaches.
I agree. So give me predictions.
I think Washington wins in a close one. I think
no point spread.
Well, no. Washington's favored by one on the road. This game is on the road, correct?
Yeah, it's on the road.
Yeah. So that's a little fishy to me in itself. But no, I think Washington wins this one relatively close. Ugly game, 17-14.
Philly just got their brains beat out. I think this is a gut check moment for them. So, I'm just trying to think about who's going to be the hungrier team, and I just don't see it right now in the Redskins. But going back to last year with this same, you know, nucleus of Gruden and Kirk Cousins, Scott McLuhan, I'm going to go back to all three. They pulled together and they rallied to make the playoffs. So I expect the Redskins to do the same this season. It's a big game in the division. You got to win both your division games to end the season. I think they'll win. Long response.
You got a score prediction?
Nah.
You got a score prediction?
I think they'll win by three. They've been winning close games. Did you say 3-2?
Yeah, I said 17-14.
Okay.
You don't want to put no points on it, though? By three games?
23-20.
That's cool. Make sure I have to put on the spot with that one, bro. I'm going to choose the Washington Redskins. I think they're going to have a sense of urgency. This is a big game. This is a division game. So when you play a division opponent, you tend to play with some urgency, play with some anger. They need to play with some anger in this game. So I'm going to say the Redskins win 27-17.
Okay.
DeSean Jackson always rallies the team against. His former group.
Deshaun Jackson. Well, there was a report that came out early Sunday morning. Actually, this was something I wanted to talk about if I was on the show. I actually thought that he will go. I actually think he is going to go back to Philadelphia.
Think so?
Absolutely think so.
It can go down.
That's okay. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal. He's injury prone. I think he's getting older.
I think it is. Deshaun Jackson is one of the few wide receivers that dictate coverage. That you have to, roll a safety over top, or you have to put a linebacker underneath him.
And he's starting to be utilized more now.
It's a larger discussion, but you got Dotson coming back. I expect that the Redskins, we'll want to see what he can do.
Of course, they want to see. It's all speculation. To be honest with you. Anyway, we'll assess the Redskins offensive coordinator Sean McVay after the break. It's the Herb Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Soul in Sports, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m. Hopewell.
I seen your girl post a bio, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashad Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you listen to Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally, Will T, and my boy Ray Jeezy. We're on Twitter, just tweet us at Urban Sports, no S after sports. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, just search the Urban Sports Scene. I mentioned Sean McVay before the break. The Reds can struggle to get in the red zone. And also, it seemed he was very pass-happy in this game. Like Will mentioned, Robert Kelly, who had an effective game, only rushed the ball 14 times. Is the offensive coordinator, Sean McVay, a hindrance for this team?
Absolutely not. I think he's a strength for this team. I think sometimes, his play design is a strength to this team. I think his ability to put Kurt in the right situations with the right calls is a strength to this team. But I do think, this next point is largely debatable, whether he runs the ball enough. You know, some people can make the case. Some people want to see you run the ball 20 to 25 times. But if you're running the ball 20 to 25 times and you're only getting 2 or 3 or maybe 4 yards at most, what's really the use of running the ball? You know, if they aren't effective runs. So I do think that they need to be. One criticism I would say is they do need to be creative in the red zone, because they've blown a lot of opportunities doing essentially the same play, which is a fade to the right corner.
Which was ridiculous. That was a stupid.
Yeah, with Deshaun Jackson.
3rd and 1, Deshaun Jackson fade. That was ridiculous.
Let me ask you guys this one question. Why the hell doesn't Washington have a fullback? I know Fat Rob.
Jay Gruden doesn't believe in fullbacks. That's why they had Darrell Young. Darrell Young was one of the better fullbacks in football, and he didn't even utilize him the year he was there.
But I think that we've seen, over the 12 games they've played thus far this season.
No fullback.
That you need a fullback in those close yardage.
Yeah, but he just doesn't believe in a fullback. Even in Cincinnati, he didn't really utilize a fullback. He doesn't believe in a fullback. That's just his thing.
Is it working?
Who, Sean McVay?
No, I'm just saying.
Not having a fullback. It's not.
I don't think so. I mean, short yardage, I believe that you need thumpers. A fullback's a thumper.
And I understand, what was the guy who was injured again, a tight end, Niles Paul?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be your H-back fullback, but.
But he still wasn't utilized that way when he was healthy. They just ran 3 tight end sets.
One of the worst red zone teams in the league. It has to fall on Sean McVay. I don't know if that, means he's not necessarily a strength to this team, but that's certainly a problem, and it falls on him because it seems like his play calling is excellent till you get down there. It's like he's confused. I don't understand. It's always either a fade route, some type of trick play. I don't get it. I don't understand. With all the struggles you've had throughout the season, how come you haven't adjusted? What is the issue? Is it the team's not executing properly? It seems like at this point they're kind of mum. They take up for each other. I understand that, because early in the season Kirk was shouldering all the blame. When the Redskins started 0-2, he was shouldering all the blame. Where's the coach's accountability? That's what I want to know.
And And I think he has some blame to it. I mean, as in terms of before you get to 20, you know, between the 20 to 20, he's awesome. He gets those yardage. This offense moves up there. This team is second in yardage in the NFL in terms of total offense. So he does the job offensively in terms of stacking up yardage. I can't say you can't take that away from him. But when it comes to the red zone, he struggles. And like Will, you mentioned that fade route to DeSean Jackson on 3rd and 1. Well, we know in football you got to show toughness to win games, all right? And on first down on that same particular drive, he runs a play action pass. I believe it was a legal shift. A two-man run, move at the same time, got pulled back 5. You just run the ball with Robert Kelly. It's at the 1. It's 1st and goal at the 1. So, you know what I mean? It's 3rd and goal at the 1. Run the football.
I don't know. That seems like a logical answer. But again, who are we talking about here?
And again, if you're listening to the show, the question is Sean McVay a hindrance for this Redskins team? The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140.
Also, was Jamison Crowder underutilized in this game? Yeah, he went from a big week at Dallas, 8 catches, 88 yards, to this game, 3 catches.
He had a touchdown.
Yeah, he did have a touchdown, 3 catches, 42 yards. Was he targeted enough considering that you were down Jordan Reed?
I just thought the Cardinals put a lot of pressure on him, on Kirk Cousins, so there were a lot of things that he probably didn't see.
It's a good game plan.
It was a good game plan. So, I mean, they got Vernon Davis involved in the tight end position. I mean, James, you would want Jameson Crowder to get more touches, you would. But I think the pressure got to Kirk Cousins. To be honest with you, even in the last drive, when Kirk Cousins threw an interception, Crowder was open, and he actually had a good game. I mean, Crowder himself. I was targeted a lot during
open.
That last drive.
That's an understatement.
let me go back. Cutting you off. Go back to the 3rd and 1 inside the red zone.
Yeah.
Why not use what's the kid, Maurice Harris?
Who's tall?
Why not stick Vernon Davis out wide, or you know, go with 3 tight ends, then stick Vernon Davis out, Vernon Davis out to the split end and let him work one on one against a tight end.
I agree with you, but I don't like fade routes. Period.
I'm not even saying it has to be a fade.
Okay,
What about a dig route, a hitch,
mm-hmm.
a slant? You know, you have two big body guys there that's at your disposal. Why not use their physical attributes to your advantage?
No, I agree with you. I would have used Vernon Davis, a guy maybe run a slant with Vernon Davis on the outside, you know, knowing he's a big body, he can shield you. But I wouldn't limit it to a fade, especially again to DeSean Jackson. To me, my problem with Todd McVay, I'm like I'm watching college football. Sean McVay is that like his commitment to running the football. And the Redskins were up 13-10 in this game. And I've always stated that when you've seen winning football for many teams, and depending on what your defense is too at the same time, you're up 13-10. A lot of teams, you know, they run that football if they can run it. And the Redskins have shown in that game they could run the football. And he decided to throw the ball. And what happened? It was 13-10. Kirk Cousins in the pocket. Sack fumble. Changes the course of the game. Arizona gets that fumble and takes it, you know, to the 10-yard line. To change the course, it changed the game. Especially that's when your Morgan Moses, I believe it was Morgan Moses or Ty or Nsekhe, can't remember which one, went down and was out for a play. And they have that after that happened, Arizona brought pressure and that was a sack fumble.
Yeah, let's flip it to the fourth quarter, 4th and 1. At their own 34-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Arians lines up, 4th and 1, goes right off the left guard. With David Johnson. You know what was coming. That just goes to show you they were a far more physical team that was ready in Washington for some reason. I don't know, maybe it was the travel, I don't know what to attest it to, but this team just looked like they didn't have a sense of urgency.
Bruce Arians has been an offensive coordinator. He's a head coach now. He's been an offensive coordinator in this league. He's always been a physical, imposing individual. He's not scared of anything. Either he'll go deep anytime he wants to, or he'll run right down your throat. Sean McVay as an offensive coordinator, a guy who everybody is deemed to be a future head coach in this game, is more of a finesse type of dude.
Well, I do think he's a future head coach, and I think the perfect place for him would have been L.A., but they decided to bring back the guy who's on the verge of being the all-time losingest coach in NFL history.
Earlier in the season, Will, you said that the Redskins weren't good enough to impose their will upon somebody. While you just referred to Arians imposing his will against other teams, Will, has that opinion changed since you're speaking so highly of Sean McVay right now?
No, I still don't think they physically are able or willing to impose their will upon another team. You know, from the standpoint of getting that tough yard. Now, when they had Matt Jones was very effective at getting those short yardage. You know, I think he converted. Matt Jones was.
I'm a Matt Jones fan.
Check the stats. Check the statistics.
I could no longer defend the fumbling.
Yeah, no, I know he is, but Matt Jones, you know, when he was in, he was very successful converting those short yardage downs.
Yeah, he's not fumbling the ball.
True. That's true.
That's what I said. I like Matt Jones. I expect him to have a good season, and it looked as though he was going to have a solid year, but you can't defend fumbling. And Rob Kelly's just emerged, and he continues to get in shape, and it's been great to see his development.
So should Jay Gruden, with the struggles with the in the red zone, should Jay Gruden consider taking over red zone calls?
No. You hire Sean McVay to be your offense coordinator. You delegate that responsibility to him. Now, should Jay Gruden say, "Hey, what's your best run right here?" or "We don't need another fade route." You know, now you can offer those, you know, those suggestions, but no, you leave it in Sean McVay's hands.
At this point in the season, if you're playing with a sense of urgency, if it comes to that, you're the head coach. You got to do what you got to do. I don't care if Sean McVay is, you know, deemed the next head coach, or, you know, a great play caller. You got to do what you got to do, and you got to make tough decisions. And I think it's something he's going to have to consider. I don't know if that'll make a big difference, though. That's the thing, really. But
man, red zone change makes a big difference.
No, I'm talking. I don't know if Jay Gruden making the calls down there would make a big difference.
You think Sean McVay is a better play caller than
Jay Gruden? Say that. I'm just saying I don't know if Jay Gruden is, you know, that much of a better play caller than Sean McVay. That's what I'm saying.
Well, they're both pass happy. I mean, they both have the record of being pass happy. If I'm Jay Gruden, I'm doing it myself. If I know we're not being successful, I'm offensive.
Well, that's what I was kind of saying.
If I'm an offensive minded coach, and which he is an offensive minded coach, you take it on yourself. That you're the head coach. That this team represents you, and you've been deemed the guy who has been a very intelligent offensive mind. You know what? We're struggling in the red zone. That's all on me. I'll right in the 20-yard line. I'll say, you know, Sean, you've done a great job, but at this point in time, I'm gonna take over because I believe we need touchdowns. My defense isn't good enough to stop people. We need touchdowns, and you're not getting it at the moment. So if I'm Jay Gruden, it's time to man up and step up, because this red zone thing is a problem. Week one, two now, everybody's made excuses for it. Well, you know what? We haven't done this. People have missed time. This, that, and the other. Well, we're approaching week 14, and it's still an issue. And that tells me that the red zone offense is horrible, and it's horrible because it's not just the players, it's the coaches as well. So it's something they have to fix. So if I'm Jay Gruden, you take over and take ownership of it and say, you know what, it's my job. I got to do it. It's all on me. My guys have done what they need to do. I need to show we need to improve on the coaching side, because this ain't right, and this shouldn't be happening. But anyway, the Washington Wizards are playing right now. They're down to the Orlando Magic 65-52.
Yes.
Could Washington Wizards small forward Otto Porter get a max deal? We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Saint.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hear me, I'm in California dreaming about who we are.
Listen to Urban Sports Scene. Wally, Will T, myself, Bray. We're on Twitter. Check us out at Urban Sports Scene. No S after sports. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Just search Urban Sports Scene. And this is about to be a great segment because we're talking about Otto Porter. And I know Will T is not a fan of Ernie Grunfeld. Right now, I know Ernie is sweating bullets. That's a good one, right? Sweating
yes,
bullets. You get it? because his team is not looking good. And he's... a free agent. It's had to be a free agent's contract expiring. I don't think Ernie comes back, and we're now about to discuss Otto Porter potentially getting a max deal. Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post wrote an article about Otto Porter playing into a max deal. Can we see that happening, and does the Ernie effect come into play for you all?
First of all, I want to say great energy coming out of the break.
Wasn't
Ray.
It though?
Yeah, I just want to say that was great. Great energy
what?
Coming
y'all,
out of
y'all
the break.
Killing me, man.
What? I'm commending you. That was great energy.
You know what? Real talk. You should see him do like a fantasy football like.
That's
something else.
That's what I'm saying, man.
It's something else.
He's been here a while.
I almost shed a tear that day because I was so not prepared and he was so prepared. It was like what? I was like, what's the name of the dude that does it for ESPN? The fantasy football dude?
Matthew Berry.
Matthew
yes.
Berry.
He was
rivaling Matthew
yeah,
Berry.
Yeah, he really was, though.
Oh, man. Y'all are crazy.
But, Otto Porter. Did you want to start, Will, or you want me to go?
I'll start.
Go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
Otto Porter is having a drastically improved year. He's starting to show the type of production that you would expect or want from a guy who was a number 3 overall pick in the 2011 draft, if I'm not mistaken, 2011 or 2012.
It was the same draft with, I want to say 12. I'll check. What reason?
Okay. I think it's 2012, if I'm not mistaken.
2013.
Thank you, Ray.
No problem.
He's showing the potential that you thought that he would have, but to me, he still hasn't showed it at a high level and at a consistent level. Now we know with the salary cap being the way it is, that Washington ultimately is going to have to pay him if they aren't able to package him and move him before the trade deadline. But to answer your question directly, does he deserve a max contract? Hell no.
Are you a fan of Otto Porter, Will T?
I like the kid's game. I think the kid, he's one of those what they call 3-and-D guys. Mm-hmm. You know, he's starting to shoot. He's shooting 41% from the 3-point line now. Great length. can switch on picks, can guard probably four positions out on the floor. But a max I think, you know, with the salary cap being the way it is in the economics of the NBA it is today, it used to mean something for a player to obtain a max contract. Mm-hmm. Now just about everyone is getting maxed out. So it takes away the significance of it. And I know, you know, Otto Porter's a talented guy, but I don't think this is a team that's better served using that money in other spots.
Well, call us. We're posing the question right now. Do you think Otto Porter could possibly be a max contract type of dude? Call us. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. We have this question up also on our Facebook page. But I think that for me, Otto Porter is improving. In today's NBA, we've seen a lot of guys get close to max deals doing much less. This guy makes his plus and minus is up there in the NBA. I believe he's like ninth in plus and minus in the NBA. He's a guy who's averaging 14.7, basically 15 points a game, and getting 8 boards, does all the dirty work. But now this is what I will say, though, Will, to your point, watching Otto Porter play. He's not a guy who can create his own shot. And I think when we think of a max person, we think of a guy who can create for his own. And he's predicated on John Wall for him to be effective. But he does get a lot of dirty buckets. What I mean is offensive rebounds, putbacks, and things of that sort, and running the break. He can be effective as long as John Wall is out there on the court. I'm not going to speak for Bradley Beal because I don't think that he can be effective with Bradley Beal on the court. But with John Wall on the court, he can, because John Wall is the typical point guard. He gets everybody involved and helps create spacing for somebody. Otto Porter helps create spacing for somebody like John Wall. So he does benefit. John Wall himself benefits from having an Otto Porter on the court.
I think it's too early to really determine whether he deserves a max deal. I like the title of the article. He's playing his way into a max deal. Uh-huh. I think that's critical because I'm looking like, how does 14 points, 8 boards a game equal a max contract? Like Will said, that's the market that we're living in. Jan Mahimi is making ridiculous money. And what has he done this season?
Playing like what, 2 or 3?
I'm looking at Allen Anderson's fat butt on the sideline for the Clippers. Like, he just stole money from the Wizards.
Say it like you mean it, son. Say it like you mean it.
It's annoying when you're a fan of a franchise, when you invest time and money into watching a team, and they paid Allen Anderson money, and he never made a significant impact. As a matter of fact, he was hurt most of the time. Mm-hmm. While you and I cover games, we barely saw him. He was dressed up half the time. And he was overweight. I hate overweight NBA players. Exercise for a living. How does that happen? But anyway, going back to the point is he playing his way into that? I can agree with that statement at this time because his numbers are improving. He's shooting over 50% from the field. Again, he's an excellent defender. I'm not worried about if he can create his own shot or not. I don't really think Bradley Beal is the best at creating his own shot. Mm-hmm. If he's going to be with the Wizards, if they're going to continue to allow Scott Brooks to mold this roster, then yeah, I think he could definitely play his way into a max contract, and he could make a significant impact for this franchise for years to come in an emerging Eastern Conference, even though it's still relatively weak in comparison to the West.
On Twitter, my man Patrick said, pay Otto. So Otto has fans. Otto Porter does have fans.
Yeah, Glad Hoyas and Patrick. That's about it.
Greg,
I don't think he's a fan favorite.
On our Facebook page, my man Greg Gaines said, nope, they better not do it. My man Kamal said, no, please no. Solomon Tacky went to a
cool with us, yeah.
So that would mean we would have 3 max players on the contract on the team.
Who's the other one? John Wall?
Well, you're gonna have to pay John Wall in a couple years
if he wants to stick around.
And they still have and he's adding with the losing record.
Dude, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. There's a guy that I think on this team that if you don't go the route of signing Otto Porter can actually fill that spot. Yes,
he's soft as Charmin.
He might be soft.
I knew you was going there.
He might be soft as Charmin. You may say that he's soft as Charmin, but if you look at what both of these guys out,
and he wears a flight jacket. You make millions of dollars. Quit.
Look, man. We're not on here to criticize his fashion choices, but. Kelly Oubre Jr.
That new age stuff, man. No new age kids.
If you Steve Nash, you can dress weird. But if you Kelly Oubre, you got to dress to impress, bro. Sorry, go ahead, Will.
Kelly Oubre Jr., I think he brings his game. He has a lot of dimensions that Otto Porter has. Now, Otto Porter is a little bit more scrappy. He's a more polished distributor of the ball, mm-hmm. A better three-point shooter, and at this point, a better defender. But if you – Scott Brooks was brought here because his ability to develop talent, mm-hmm. right? So if you're going to let Otto Porter Jr. walk, then you have a guy who potentially on your roster can fill – not replace him, but fill in. And you can use that money to cover – other aspects of this roster.
But the problem, what Otto Porter brings to this team is a guy who's actually one of the more intelligent basketball players on the team, and they don't have that many intelligent basketball players on the team. Kelly Oubre, who I do like, I think has a lot of potential, is still a wild child in terms of on the court. I'm talking about on the court. Bradley Beal tends to over-dribble. John Wall, you all know I'm a fan of John Wall, he turns the ball over left and right. Otto Porter is like the calming influence on that team. Offensively and defensively.
To be honest with you, I would take Trevor Ariza and be fine. I think when he was on the roster, he took a lot of ill-advised threes, I know. But aside from that, he made a lot of those ill-advised threes, and he always defended. He always played tough, always played with passion, even when he made bad choices, yeah. Like, you know, dumb fouls. Otto Porter does too, but not for a max deal. You got Philly who's emerging, right? You expect Philly, when healthy, a season or two from now, to be a potential top five, top six Eastern Conference team. I want to go higher, but I'm not going to go that far just yet. You got Milwaukee, who continues to get better and better, and looking like they have an emerging leader in what they call him, the Greek Freak.
Yeah. Greek Freak, because I'm not saying his name.
His last name is very difficult.
You have Detroit.
Detroit, who is okay, but
who has Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson, and they have a great coach in Stan Van Gundy.
He's a good coach.
He's a great coach. Stan Van Gundy's
Boston's getting
a championship.
Boston's going to be there.
He's taking. So, yeah, I mean,
you're looking at your competition. I don't know what the heck Indiana's doing. I picked them to be a top team in the Eastern Conference. I'm frustrated there. But my point is,
you got my Knicks.
If you,
I like your Knicks.
They're getting better.
I like yeah,
I said that. You know, I'm picked them to do something.
I'm glad to see that. Yeah, I don't know about Hornets, but anyway, the point.
I picked that.
The point is though, going back to Otto Porter, if you're going to sign him as a max deal to be a big part of your team, is he, you know, going to help you to beat these teams that we're talking about that are emerging and getting better when the Wizards are not currently getting better? It's a tough thing to really consider when I think there are guys that could definitely fill his void without paying him that much money.
Speaking of not getting better, the Wizards are down 83-70 to the Orlando Magic at home in the third quarter, 4:07 left.
Any points? Anybody in the high for the Washington Wizards right now?
The high for the Washington Wizards is John Wall with 29 points.
The Serge Ibaka-led Orlando Magic are beating you by double digits.
That's a problem. This story will get interesting down as the season goes
Brooks,
on.
Scott Brooks, man, I tell you.
Yeah, we can talk about that one too. That's a whole different topic about Scott Brooks. Is he overrated? To be honest with you. Anyway, I'm just saying.
It's terrible.
It's the truth though. Anyway, up next, we're going to make our Week 14 picks. After the break, it's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T, and Ray. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have an NFL Pick'em Challenge with them every week. Last week, Will, myself, and Ray all went 9-6.
Yeah, Eric Berry screwed me.
9-6,
screwed
bro.
Me.
We all went 9-6. Eric
Berry. But tell the overall record, though. So.
First, I'll get to that. Well, I'll do that now. Let me do that now. Ray, right now, is 86-73-2. Will T is 90.
No, let go. I want to go last because I think you build up to the best.
Okay. I am, Wally, is 84-75-2.
So you're just barely above 500.
84-75-2 is barely above 500?
9 games, but.
Hey, Will T is 90. 69-2.
21 games above 500, people. So this is what I'm saying. If you've been betting with me all during the season, Christmas is great for you and your family.
Dude, are you serious?
Yes, that's what I've been saying
you,
all year.
Where'd he go last week, man? When he didn't show up. Right? When he didn't show up?
Oh.
And I told you, I did it because I wanted you guys to catch up. Oh, but this year, I'm going, this week, I'm going to win 10 games.
Okay. You always just guarantee? Okay, hold on. That's and also, for the football garbage time, Ryan went 11-4. Scott went 10-5. Hakun Wong went 9-6. And Jason and Joanne went 7-8.
Pick it up, Jason and Joanne.
Wilshire Dobbs has spoken.
Yep.
All right, man. Let's get into our Week 14 games. Raiders versus the Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs, 3.5-point favorite at home.
I'm going to doggone it. I got the Chiefs.
I'm going to Raiders. Give me the Steelers versus the Bills.
I got the Bills. Did you say that right?
That's it. What?
Were you picking the Steelers just now?
No, I didn't. I'm taking
give
the Bills.
Me the Steelers versus the Bills.
That's a give me?
Yeah, you did.
I did. Oh, sorry.
I'll take the Bills, by the way.
give me the Bills.
I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Broncos versus Titans.
Oh, give me the Broncos.
I'll take the Broncos.
Give me the Broncos.
Can't go that hard.
We all picked the Redskins versus the Eagles. Did we all pick the Redskins?
Yes.
Okay. Cardinals versus the Dolphins.
Give me the Cardinals.
I will take the Dolphins.
Dang, it's tough. Give me the Dolphins. No, give me the Cardinals. Give me the Cardinals. Vikings versus Jags in Jacksonville.
Oh, give me Minnesota. The Jaguars team is done. Gus Bradley,
it's
pack
done.
Your bags. It's closing time, buddy.
Give me the...
Matter of fact, I'll go out on a ledge.
So what, you fired after the game?
I think Gus Bradley, after coming, you know, after a, I'm not going to say a blowout, but a lackluster performance is let go after this game.
Okay. I'm going to Vikings as well.
I picked the Vikings, right? I didn't pick yet. Vikings.
Texas versus the Colts in Indy.
Give me the Colts.
Yeah, give me the Colts as well.
Colts.
Chargers versus Panthers in Carolina.
Give me the Chargers.
I'll take the Panthers.
Give me the Chargers. Bengals versus the Browns in Cleveland.
The savior returns and provides Cleveland with the first win of the season, RG3.
He's playing this game?
Yep.
Impossibly.
Give me Cleveland.
Oh, what's up, man?
I'll take the Bengals.
Give me the Bengals. Bears versus the Lions.
Oh, give me the Lions.
Yeah, give me the Lions.
Lions.
You know what I'm saying? You can't say Will ain't, I mean, real people don't, I mean, do real things. Will did pick the Browns.
I didn't say it.
He did pick the Browns.
I don't know. That was a bold
prediction. That was real.
That was a bold
prediction. That was real.
And you'll know why when my fantasy time comes around.
Saints versus the Bucks.
God, this is a tough one.
No, sorry, I skipped one. Excuse me. Jets versus the Niners.
Oh, Jets. Give me the 49ers. Jets team is Jets. Dead in the water.
Give me the Jets. The Niners.
Niners just lost to the Bears. Anything can happen.
Nah, did you see that lackluster performance Monday night?
The Jets,
But
Todd Bowles is a good coach, though.
Todd Bowles is a good coach, but he has Bryce Petty start that quarterback.
Poor child.
I'm going to stick with the Jets. I'll stay with my pick.
Saints versus Bucks.
See, this was a tough one right here.
Give me
Bucks are hot. I have New Orleans written down, too, so give me New Orleans.
Give me the Bucks. Falcons versus Rams.
ATL.
Yeah, give me Atlanta.
This is one of those games.
Here we go.
This is one of those games.
But give me Atlanta. Give me Atlanta.
This is the kind of game that Jeff Fisher always wins.
This is one of those games that he wins. I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
It's a road game for the Falcons.
That's what I'm saying. A road game against a good offense. Julio's hurt.
This is the kind of game that Jeff Fisher usually wins, too.
Yes,
right?
It usually is.
To make sure he keeps his job. I know. This is.
I mean, I don't know if he's going to keep his job, but he has a 2-year contract.
All right, his next game is Seahawks versus Packers.
Give me the Packers.
Give me the Seahawks.
Give me the Packers.
Cowboys versus the Giants in New York.
Give me the Giants.
Give me the Giants.
Give me the Giants.
Ravens versus Patriots in New England. This is the type of game.
I'll take the Patriots.
This is the kind of game that the Ravens usually win.
because they played the Patriots.
That's why I'm taking the Patriots.
I'm taking the Patriots Monday night.
And let me change my Seahawks. I'll take the Seahawks against Green Bay.
You changing out?
Yeah. Lost Earl Thomas is tough, though.
Yeah.
How long is he out?
For the season.
Tough for the season?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely tough. Oh.
So I'll be the first one to say, even though I don't want to say it.
Dallas looking good to go to Super Bowl?
Dallas is going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that sucks. That would really suck.
Dallas is going
to
the
Super Bowl. Who'd y'all pick? The Patriots?
I picked the Patriots.
I
picked the Patriots. The Ravens ain't that good. They ain't beating no Patriots. All right, fancy pick for the week.
I'm actually going to take the Bengals defense. They had a great game last week against Philly last week. They looked extremely good, held them to 14 points. And that blowout win, they're starting to get it together. You're playing against the Browns. It speaks for itself.
For me, give me Sammy Watkins Jr. Had a good hit effective day when he came back in his return. I don't think the Steelers have the secondary to stop Sammy Watkins Jr. So if you have him on your fantasy team, make sure you start him against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Despite a tough matchup this week in Seattle, I'm gonna go with Jordy Nelson matching up against Richard Sherman.
Wow.
Richard Sherman.
Yep.
Sherman?
Richard Sherman.
Sherman? Really?
Yep. I'm going with Jordy Nelson.
Is he? Well, Aaron Rodgers.
Jordy Nelson's having a good fantasy year. Yeah. And he's having a good year in general.
Yeah. But Aaron Rodgers is that dude. You know what I mean? He can make anybody look bad. Anyway, the top four for the college football playoffs was finalized. We'll discuss that at the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Oh man, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene with Will, Ray, and myself, Wally.
Let's go. Make sure you start it for Christmas.
Absolutely.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. All right, man. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Washington are the top four in the college football playoffs. Are these the four best teams in college football?
The system worked. Stop complaining, people out there. You hate the BCS. You got your playoff system, and it worked.
Are the four best teams?
Clemson. You think they're the four best teams? Excellent game. Are they the four best teams? I like Michigan to be in the top four, but the way college football is designed, that couldn't happen. So I have no problem with the four playoff teams that we have.
I don't necessarily have a problem with it because I do think Ohio State is better than Penn State. Going off of historically off of the selection committee's criteria, I think that Penn State was robbed of a spot in the playoffs.
Like they won a conference title?
Yeah, they won a conference title. They beat Ohio
and
State.
They beat them hot. They won a conference title and they beat them head to head.
Yeah.
So I think if you historically have gone by, if watched how the selection committee has selected, in the past, Penn State got robbed. But I do think, just going off of their criteria, they got robbed. But I do think that Ohio State is a better team than Penn State.
I think you watching on TV, you think Ohio State's better than Penn State easily. But like what Will T said, if you look at the criteria, they beat them head to head. They won a division. They won the conference championship game, so they're the champions of the Big. They're champions of the Big Ten, and they're not in this game.
I don't know if it matters. I mean, Alabama's far and away the best team in college football. Alabama can beat the Browns. So if you look at it from that standpoint, it really doesn't matter. You're just going to watch it for the entertainment value, especially the Ohio State Clemson.
Well, let me ask you guys this. A lot of people complained about it being on New Year's Eve last year, and it affected the viewership. Will you guys watch it this year? Will you watch the two playoff games this year?
If I can catch it, I'll catch it. I mean, I don't think it doesn't hinder me any which way.
It's not must-see TV for you, like the Final Four?
Yeah. No, it's not like the Final Four. It's never going to be like the Final Four to me.
You don't think so? You don't think it'll elevate to the point
That's just me personally. I'm just big into the Final Four. Like, March Madness, that's it for me. Like, so.
Well, I know. You take off.
See, you have Washington, who is kind of like. Washington is kind of like the NCAA basketball Cinderella. Butler. They're like Butler. They're like George Mason. Going up against UNLV, son, and it's not going to be pretty, I don't think. That's what I'm
saying. It's going to be nasty, man. Like, whoever Alabama plays.
Alabama's real.
Like, Alabama embarrassed USC. They made USC look like a MEAC school. Like, that's USC. USC.
Well, last year people complained that we didn't get the best game in the championship game with Alabama playing Ohio State in the first round of the playoffs last year. The committee has rigged it or changed it so that we potentially can get Ohio State versus Alabama in a championship game this year. Mm. So both of you guys still think that Alabama comes out?
I thought last year they got the two best teams. Clemson and
Bama. Yeah, but
it was
a good game, but a lot of people
wanted Ohio State.
They thought that Ohio State should have played Alabama in the championship game.
They would have got beat. Like, they would their butts beaten if they played Alabama last year. That was my. I think I like that. I mean, to me, what Clemson produced last year, and then it was off topic, but Clemson had talent wise.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Just as good as Bama's talent, to be honest with you, but Bama just has a little bit more talent. Clemson had talented dudes.
Clemson had talent last year. Dodd.
Yeah, Dodd. And
Mike Williams, and Deshaun Jackson.
Shaquille, what's his name?
Watson.
And Shaquille, what's his name? The defensive player.
I forgot his name. Yeah,
but they were stacked. Clemson was stacked defensively for real. They were stacked. But which matchup is going to be the more lopsided matchup? Will it be Alabama versus Washington, Clemson versus Ohio State? I think it's pretty easy.
it's easy to say it's going to be Alabama versus Washington, but I think that game is going to be a lot more physical, and the score isn't going to indicate just how close that game is, because I think Washington is a very physical team and will not back down from Alabama.
Which matchup is the most lopsided matchup within the top?
Oh, yeah, duh. Easily. Washington and Alabama. Absolutely. I said that already.
You did already. Is there, like, I know, I'm not going to let Ray talk because he already said this pretty much. Is there any team in the top four other than, you know, obviously Bama's in?
Yeah, you know, Alabama won a championship last year, right?
Yeah, yes. No.
They beat Clemson.
Yeah, I said they beat Clemson. I said they were just as talented. It was a really good game.
I thought
the talent level was just as much. The talent level on
yeah, no, in the first round of the playoffs, they played Ohio.
No. I said the talent. Yeah. They both had like comparable talent.
My bad.
Can any team compete with Bama in this top four? In your opinion?
No, I don't think that. What's his name? JT. I don't think JT Barrett is able to make enough plays from the pocket for Ohio State to compete with Alabama. And I think Washington is one or two years away from being the superpower that I think that Chris Peterson can make them.
Offensively, they have weapons, especially at the quarterback position in Washington. They got the quarterback, Browning, the freshman. They got the quarterback. I just don't think there's any team that can compete with Bama. I think Bama, like you mentioned, just if you watch Michigan.
It would have been interesting because I think Michigan really could have come. Yeah, they're just as physical as Alabama. I think they really could have competed with Alabama, and you know, until it got to the point where Alabama started going, when fatigue set in, and Alabama started going to their bench.
Yeah, imposing their will. But just looking at what Michigan did to, I mean, Michigan, Ohio State, how that battle went, and I think Alabama is just as they have more bodies, like Will was referring to, and defensively. And you can see, like, Barrett would struggle against that type of defense.
I know I wasn't here when you guys talked about that Michigan and Ohio State game.
Yeah,
but,
I'm over it now, boy.
Yeah, no, but I think, to me, I think you saw the difference in a coach that was playing to win the game in Urban Meyer versus a coach who was playing not to lose the game in Jim Harbaugh. I think when they scored that last touchdown and they had an opportunity to either go for one or go for two to win the game, I think you got to put your foot on their throat in Ohio State's backyard and go for two.
Space, I understand. I understand Jim Harbaugh because Space was just choking.
If my quarterback is out there, made the play to tie this game up, and he goes, puts up two fingers, I'm believing in him,
I'm not believing the same dude who kept Ohio State in the game. I'm not believing the dude.
I get it, but I think I would have said, hey, we on the road.
Yeah.
It's us versus the world.
Let's go for it.
If
I had Peyton Manning in Tennessee, maybe. But I had Spades, who was like kind of throwing the ball, looking scared in the pocket, wasn't looking accurate to the overtime drive. And that wasn't overtime, they start you the 25-yard line. So yeah. He wasn't looking confident throughout the second half, to be honest with you. And the defense gave him a number of times to dominate the game, and he just let him down.
But you know the great thing is, for at least the next 5 to 10 years, mm-hmm. if Jim Harbaugh and Urban Meyer stay at Ohio State in Michigan,
the battles are endless.
Yeah, that Saturday after Thanksgiving, it's going to be great.
It's special.
Yep, it's going to be special.
Man. Anyway, man, it's about to wrap this show up. Thank you all for listening to the show. We appreciate you all. Any parting shots? Any parting words, folks?
No, it was great to be back doing the show with you guys this week. Hopefully, we'll be back again next week to do the show. And hasta la vista.
All right, you listen to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega Leaders out, homie.